If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Are you a preacher or someone who desires to preach the Word of God? Join us for the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Preaching Workshop 2015. This workshop is designed to equip preachers to deliver the Word of God with substance, effectiveness, and relatability. This two-day workshop will be held Friday, July 17th, and Saturday, July 18th. Registration has begun, so be sure to sign up soon. Call 215-885-2585 to register. That's 215-885-2585. We hope to see you there.
You have need of patience. You have need of patience. You have need of patience. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, what is the promise? The promise is dependent upon the Holy Spirit's interdiction into your situation. To interdict means you're going this way. He comes and cuts in front of you, cuts you off. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to you becomes your promise. And so you have to wait. That's why I tell people when I teach healing, I say God just doesn't heal everybody miraculously. He has different levels of miracles. And you have to find the one that works for you. Don't become angry with God because he didn't do it the way he did it for somebody else. Let him give you yours, because then that becomes your testimony. And then the devil can't take your testimony. For I have need of. After you've done what God wanted you to do, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while. Say a little while. How long? Now, the problem with this is that we think a little while means 5 minutes. Abraham, bless his heart, Abraham was called of God when he was 75 and didn't get his first child till he was 100. That's a 25-year wait. That's a lot of broccoli and saw palmetto to keep himself healthy. He goes on ahead and he has this child, and God begins to expand the promise. First, God gives him the Abrahamic covenant, which speaks of a land. Then God expands the Abrahamic covenant into the covenant that speaks of a people. And then God expands the covenant and says that your people will also bless other people. So now the covenant is worldwide. Abraham becomes the father of that covenant. And Abraham asks a simple question. In a pragmatic fashion, Abraham says, how will I know that this will come to pass? God said the first thing we need to do is establish the covenant. We need to get into your mind that the covenant is not based on you. He said, so the first thing we're going to do is have you to get the animals together, the turtle dove, the pigeon. You're going to get everything that you need, and you're going to kill them and dismember them and lay them down on the ground so that the blood begins to coagulate on the path. And then you know by tradition you're to take somebody by the hand and walk down that bloody path, because there is a covenant through blood. He says, now you know to do that. And while you walk down that path, the two of you will speak the covenant that you're making one to another while you're walking on that bloody trail. And so when Abraham does what he's supposed to do, God comes down and puts Abraham in a semi-conscious position. He can see this lamp, Moses calls it, which is really the presence of God. And Abraham is out. But God is walking down that path, making the covenant between he and Abraham without Abraham's participation. You serve a God that made a covenant with you before you were even born. And he will keep that covenant. He will save you. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. He will heal you, because by his stripes you are healed. He will deliver you, because he's still the great deliverer. And he tries to substantiate those facts. First in Malachi, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. And to further substantiate it, God says out of the mouths of two or more, something is established. He speaks to that same group of people in Hebrews. and says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Both passages don't speak of the move of God. They speak of the person of God. That tells me that God delivered in the Old Testament, he'll deliver now. God healed in the Old Testament, he'll heal now. Jesus delivered in his time, he'll deliver now. Jesus healed in his time, he'll heal now. You've got to know that the God that we serve has not changed. So what do I need? What do I need? So God, Abraham goes to God and he says, all right, now you've given me great promise. You've given me a son. You've given me a nation of heirs. How will I know this thing will happen? I love it. How do I know this will happen? God could have told him, well, an eagle's going to fly across the mountain, stop and shriek over your head three times and then go back up into the mountain. That would have been great, wouldn't it? Because eagles don't come down to eye level. That would have been a miracle. Ooh, look at that eagle. God said, nah, ain't going to do that. Well, the water that's been running east to west now is going to turn and go west to east. And then, matter of fact, I'm going to make it go north and south and break up the east and west. No, Abraham, that's too simple for you because you're already a man of faith. I got to do something difficult for you. This is going to help somebody who's going through a difficult time. I hear the Holy Spirit. See, God didn't give Abraham a simple barometer. He says, your seed are going to be strangers in a strange land for 400 years. And then I'm going to visit them and I'm going to bring them out. Oh, did I forget to mention, you're going to be dead. So you've got to die believing me. But since your life extends into eternity, you're going to see this thing come to pass because I ain't a liar. Now, someone in here is experiencing something that is devastating to them, and they're finding themselves wondering, why did God take them down that path? It's because he has to expand your faith in order for you to become... I keep hearing the word prodigenator. That ain't for you. That's for me. That's the word that comes to me. My daughter says, keep it simple. In order for you to become the father of something greater than you, listen carefully, you've got to have a degree of faith for the great thing, even though the great thing hasn't happened. You've got to have faith for the great thing, even though the great thing is 400 years away. And the great thing will be fulfilled by your faith of now that's being tested for the great thing. So what do you need? Now listen to this. Watch how he strings it together. For yet a little while. How long? A while. And how long is a little while? No. The answer is I don't know. How long is a little while? There you go. Some things we know. We know how long, you know, approximately how long a woman can say she's going to have a baby. We can guess how long is winter. How long we can guess. But when it comes to God, I don't know. That's why it's called faith. And watch what he does here. I love how he brings this together. Don't throw your confidence away. It has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience so that after you've done everything God told you to do, you'll receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. For some reason, the translator put a personal pronoun, he, here. But in reality, what's being said is in a little while, the thing that you've been waiting for will come and won't wait. Now, this is a very powerful passage. I'm going to give it to you in a more colloquial fashion. What he's saying is, if you exercise patience and wait, when it comes, it's going to come so fast. It's going to come so powerfully that it's going to shake you if you're not waiting and looking. You get up in the morning and the sky is dark. It's gray outside. You hear the wind blowing. You go outside, you feel a little wind blowing. The temperature has dropped about 6, 7, 8, 10 degrees. What do those signs tell you? It's getting ready to storm. If you still must go out, what will you do? Take an umbrella. Prepare for it. Why? Because the signs. So when that rainstorm comes in great torrents, you pop up that umbrella. Now, what if you have purchased one of those dollar store umbrellas and the wind comes up under that bad boy? What's it going to do? Tear it up, blow it inside out. So here you are trying to pull it back, getting soaking wet to the point where you just throw that thing away, pull your coat over your head and start running. All right, what are you going to do when you go to get another umbrella? You're going to get a good one. You're going to go to maybe Macy's or Penny's and get one of the big golf umbrellas. Why? Because you're not so, it's not so much the size, but you want to make sure you have those nice, those thicker metal braces inside that can take the wind. Are you with me? All right, so God gives you small tests to see if you can stand the wind. Now, you'll know when you get a big test, it's because you have already stood the smaller test. Now, I need you to understand that there is an emotional connection to faith. You can feel like everything is going to be all right, but not be able to substantiate why you feel that way. You can feel that, no, this just doesn't feel right to me. This negative report, this negative situation, it just doesn't feel right to me. But you don't understand why. So here he says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't give in to what you don't understand. Hold on to what you know. That's what he's saying here. And then you wait on God to do some unique things. Let me tell you how God will strengthen. Ah, Gloria Shat. Let me tell you how God will put some stronger braces in your umbrella. Do you know why you go through what you go through? So that you can become a brace in somebody else's storm. So that when one person goes through a storm and their umbrella is cracking up, they can reach out and get you, and then you become the brace in that new umbrella they're building. And God, the Bible, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we have a host of witnesses who have been through what we are going through, who can reach back and say, you're going to be fine. How do you know I'm going to be fine? Because I've been through what you've been through. And if God brought me through it, don't you give in. Hold on to what I know until what I know becomes what you know. Oh, glory. That's why the writer says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because if the devil can isolate you, he can cut you off, he can bust you up, he can make you have doubt. But when you come together with the saints, when you talk with the saints, when you pray with the saints, inevitably somebody will have been where you are, and they will become an instrument in the hand of God to help you through that thing.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05515A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.